Last week, Paige talked about the five things that the guys need to know about the girls. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the five things that girls need to know about guys that I thought. Now, Paige did a very good job last week. She really did. I hope you guys really paid attention because, believe me, you will be needing what she said. She spoke the truth. You know, whether you realize it or not, she spoke the truth. So I hope you paid attention. But this week, it's my turn. Right up front, I want to say that some of you guys might get mad at me for some of the things that I'm going to say. But I want to assure you that I'm not selling you guys out, and I'm not going to give away our man secrets, not too many of them. But I am the youth pastor of everybody, not just the guys. So if I can say something that will prevent just one girl from getting into a bad relationship where she gets hurt or used, then I've done my job. But don't worry, guys, I'm going to represent to the fullest. So let's just jump into it. I have come up with five things that I think you girls really need to know about us guys. But before we get to the top five, I want to give you something a little extra, kind of like the DVD bonuses, the extra deleted scenes that are on the DVDs. So I want to give you a few things that you need to know about guys that didn't make the cut. So number nine, the ninth thing you need to know about guys is that just because we forget doesn't mean we don't care. Number eight, no, seriously, we're not thinking about anything right now. Number seven, you'll know when we need to talk. And number six, we have a mother and you're not her. Do I get an amen? But I ran the rest by Paige and she picked out my top five, so I'm going to do my... Yeah, it's strange that it came out that way. But all right, let's go right into it. Number five, the number five thing that you girls need to know about us guys is this. We don't like chick flicks for a reason. Have you ever watched any of those dating shows, Blind Date or The Bachelor? Paige and I used to watch them all the time because it's fun watching people make fools of themselves and be absolutely stupid on dates. But I noticed something. God must have sent this along because I saw Blind Date last night and it was perfect. It went right with this. The date was horrible. And, you know, the guy was a real nice guy, but the girl just didn't seem to like him. And at the end of the date, you know when they do the bubble things and then sometimes they talk to him. They talk to the girl and they're like, why didn't you like him? And she says, well, he's too nice. I kind of go more for the bad boy type. From my experience, this is definitely true. Whether you girls want to admit it or not, deep down inside, if you had the choice between the nice guy and the bad boy, you would choose the bad boy every single time. You may not admit it, but it's true. You know the ones, they're wild, they're untamed, they're edgy, they're dark. The bad boy, Vin Diesel, Paige's man. The kind of guy where anything can happen at any time. That's an exciting guy girls like to be with. I can say that girls like bad boys because, believe it or not, before I became a Christian, I was a bad boy. I was a bad, bad boy. This was back in the early 90s, and I was the original yo boy. The original yo boy. I had my starter jacket, LA Kings. I had my starter hat pulled over my eyes, Raiders. I had my Guess jeans that were, my waist was down to here. This was before it was cool. I had my Pumas, you know, every other word out of my mouth was the F word. I grew up in D.C., so it's like I was the original yo boy. I was a bad boy, you know, and I did this because the first girl that I went out with, I was a nice guy, and it only lasted about 2 days. So I figured I got to take another approach to this. So I adopted this persona, and the funny thing was I found out that the more I treated girls like crap, the more girls I got. It's true. When I got saved, I was dating this girl for like 5 years. We were dating for 5 years. And up until the point when I got saved, I treated her like total doo-doo. Definite. Straight up doo-doo. And I treated her horribly. I was the biggest jerk in the world. But after I got saved, I felt bad for being such a jerk. I felt bad for treating her so badly. So I started to treat her better. I started to be nice to her. After about a month of being nice, she called me up and said, Troy, I just, we're going to have to break up. I don't feel that love for you that I had. And I was like, what? She's been bugging me and nagging me to treat her good. And when I finally do, she dumps me. It wasn't that she didn't love me. She loved the bad boy, me. She loved that side of me. And I couldn't be that person anymore because I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. So this idea is driven into to boys from the time they're like this tall. Son, if you want to grow up and be a real man, you got to be tough. You got to be hardcore. Real men don't cry. Real men don't get scared. Real men don't show any emotion. Us guys learned at a very young age that if you did those things, if you got scared, if you cried, if you showed your emotions, you would get made fun of. You would get called names like sissy, wuss, gay, many other names. I got any witnesses from the guys in here? Now, just like last week with Paige, if I'm speaking the truth, you guys need to amen me. All right. I don't want to, because you can barely hear that. I want amen, brother. All right. Okay. Never mind. That was 50 Cent a few weeks ago, not this week. When I was a kid, I always hung out with the older kids because I was a preacher's son. And I remember a time I was 7 years old, and we always played in the church because that's basically where I lived. In fact, one time I did live in the church. But I was 7 years old, and I was playing with these boys. They were like 12, 13 years old. And we were running up and down the stairs of the church. And the church stairs were wooden, hard. And I remember I was running at full speed, and I missed a step. And my kneecap went directly into the corner of one of the steps. And just like any 7-year-old boy would do, I started to cry. But all I can remember after that is the boys, maybe I exaggerated this in my mind, but I remember them gathering around me and laughing at me and calling me names. Maybe I didn't exaggerate. Maybe that's what happened. And even though I was only 7 years old, I felt such shame and embarrassment at that point. And I think some part of me shut down from that point on. You know, I tried to think back and think, how did I become, you know, the kind of guy that, I wasn't going to say this, but I have a problem with that. I have a problem with laughing and doing stuff like that. And I was like, why do I have a problem? You know, many of you probably never heard me laugh out loud. I don't know why. I try to think back, and I think it's because some of this comes from that. If you laugh, if you cry, if you show emotion, you're deemed a wuss. That day I learned the lesson that real men don't cry, no matter how much it hurts. Let me speak to the fellas, the guys, for a moment. Guys, we got to realize that the ladies aren't really looking for bad boys, because real bad boys will end up hurting them, and real bad boys are jerks. They are looking for guys who will live life to the fullest. They are looking for guys who are confident, not cocky. They are looking for guys who are bold and not afraid to take risks. What they are really looking for is guys who are passionate about life. Passion. There is a huge difference between being passionate and being a wuss. Joseph was not a wuss. Joseph was a man's man. He went through some stuff. But in Genesis 45:14, it says, he finally saw his brothers after a long time, and he ran up to him, and it says, then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. Joseph got caught up in the moment, and he's like, you know what, I don't care if there's other men around, I don't care about that, I'm going to weep because I'm passionate. David was no wuss. David was a warrior. He killed thousands of men. David would be an action star if he was alive today. David, you know, he could take his bare hands and kill people. He was no wuss. But in 1 Samuel 34, this is, now before I read this, David had a band of men called, I can't remember what it's called, but they were like renowned. They were known for being like a lynch mob. They would go and just kill everybody. And that's who it's talking about here. And it says, David and his men burst out in loud wails. They wept and wept until they were exhausted with weeping. Now these were hardcore guys, but they were passionate about life. And what happened here was somebody came in and stole all their wives and kids and all their stuff. And they got back and they were so overcome with emotion, they just started to weep. Jesus was definitely not a wuss. John chapter 11:35, Jesus' friend Lazarus died. And Jesus stood there and he was so overcome with emotion, he wept. openly in front of everybody. And Jesus was God in human flesh. So guys, be passionate about life. I'm not telling you to cry every time the wind blows. I was watching my wife and kids last night. And on there, the son cried, and everybody, all the women were laughing at him and making fun of him. Don't cry all the time. That's not what I'm telling you. But what I am saying is be passionate about life. If you're happy, laugh. If you're scared or hurt, talk to somebody. You don't have to bottle it up deep down inside. If you're sad, cry. Don't miss out on the excitement of life because you're trying to be a real man. And the cherry on top is that when a girl sees a passionate guy, he is very appealing to her. Even if he's not the best looking guy in the world, a passionate guy is very attractive to the ladies. Subconsciously, she knows that if you're passionate about life, if you're passionate about every other area of your life, you will be passionate about her. You will love her with the same passion and excitement that you live your life. So in other words, fellas, chicks dig it. They dig passionate guys. So be passionate. Now, that's the point I wanted to give you ladies. The reason we don't cry at chick flicks and the reason we don't like them is because we don't like to express our emotions. We can't control our emotions. So that's why we don't like going to them. So don't make us go. All right? Amen. Number four. The fourth thing I want to tell you guys, no guy wants to be whipped. Can I get an amen from my fellas? I saw this letter the other day to a youth pastor, and I wanted to read it. It's from a girl. She says, "My boyfriend is totally different when he's with his guy friends. I don't like him when they're around. I told him about it, but he hasn't changed. I should be more important to him than they are. Help." Has this happened to any of you girls tonight? I have some hands in the back. You meet a guy, and he's the sweetest, nicest guy in the world. You can talk for hours. When the two of you are alone, he is so thoughtful and respectful and even a little bit shy. But whenever he gets around his friends, he turns into the biggest jerk in the world. He makes fun of you. He acts like you're not even there. He's rude, loud, obnoxious. He farts, burps, and other disgusting things. And you cannot figure out why he acts this way. Why is he acting this way when he was so sweet a few hours ago? So you decide that you're going to change him. You are going to confront him in front of his friends and ask him why he is acting this way, aka nagging. But when you do this, when you confront your boyfriend and his group of friends, you find that your boyfriend is even ruder to you than he was before. In fact, when you confronted your boyfriend in front of his friends, he has a horrified look on his face, like he's a deer caught in the headlights. He doesn't know what to do. Why? Why does he act this way when he's around his friends? Have you ever watched the Discovery Channel? I watch weird things on TV, very weird things. Paige walks in, she's like, "What in the world are you watching?" Well, the other night, I was watching a show about walruses. No joke. It showed this group of male walruses gathered around in this circle. And it was funny, because they were just, I don't know how they know to be in a circle, but they were in this circle. And all of a sudden, they all started to just attack each other. And it was funny at first. But then they really started to bite the crap out of each other. And they got these long tusks. So it was blood everywhere. It was gory. It was violent. I was like, what in the world? You know, I was watching it thinking, why are all these walruses attacking each other for no reason? It didn't seem like to me. Well, this is probably how females feel when they are in a group of guys. When you see a group of guys, we are like that group of walruses. They are in their own world. We are in our own world, and the rules are simple. Talk trash, make fun of each other, be rude, be obnoxious, and emit bodily gases. That's the rules. I'm not condoning this behavior. I'm just stating a fact. If you're not a guy, you'll never understand what I'm talking about. But it's an unwritten code of conduct. That's right. When you see a bunch of guys standing around in a circle, you are witnessing the inner caveman coming out in each one of them. There is probably just a lot of grunting and inaudible noises coming out of them. That's where guys are different than girls. We laugh at things you don't think are funny. We compete with each other in extremely stupid ways. And we insult each other, but we don't get offended. So when you walk up to your boyfriend in the midst of the caveman circle, do not be surprised if he acts different than when he's holding your hand walking in the park feeding the ducks. He's going to act different. Listen to this. The last thing a guy wants to be seen as is whipped, because that means you're controlling him. It's like he's a big wuss and you're his mommy, which really kills his ego. And the really bad thing is, his friends will use that to their advantage. This will become ammunition for them to hurl at your boyfriend or husband at every time they see him. I've seen it many times. In fact, it's happened to me many times. I'm not saying Paige. It was my first girlfriend. You've seen it, guys. You know, you're in a group of guys, you're talking about whatever, and then your girlfriend comes up and says something, and then you walk away and you hear, "Hey, see you later, John." Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Or, "Hey, Bill, I'll talk to you later." Whoosh, you know, everybody's heard it. They will use it as ammunition. Believe me when I say that. So, ladies, what can you do to help your man out and not put him in that precarious position? I'm glad you asked. Number one, never try to have a real conversation with him in front of his friends. He'll be in guy mode, and it won't be pretty. You'll end up frustrated and mad. So just don't do it. Number two, never say anything mushy in front of his friends. Do not say, "Oh, you're so sweet," or, "You know what, I had a great time at the movies the other night," or "Schnoodle pie, schnookums, whatever." Do not say that. And never, ever say, "I love you." When you do this, you put a bullseye on your boyfriend's forehead, and his friends are going to be ruthless. Come up with a little catchphrase where if he's in a group of guy friends, he can say it on a phone, like, "I didn't," you know. So he don't have to say, "I love you." "Peace out. Peace in the Middle East," you know, something. When you do that to him, you go up to him and do those things, and you're mushy, his immediate reaction will be to try to divert attention from himself, and it usually comes back on you in a negative way. So just try not to do it. Try your hardest. Now, if you just want a good laugh, go for it. You know? I think that's what you girls do sometimes. You think, "I think Troy needs to suffer today. Hey, sweetie," you know, something. I don't know. I don't know what runs through your mind. So the third thing, even up, if you want to make things better when he's in his group of guy friends, even up the guy-girl ratio. The more you can get girls and guys together, the more guys will play nice, the less they will do rude and obnoxious things. And the last thing is, get friends of your own. Have your own friends and do your own things. Trying to be friends with all his guy friends will put pressure on him, and they will get information from you and use it against him. Believe me, I've done it. So just get some friends of your own. It's healthy, you know. Don't be so attached, you know. Amen. I'm going to have some mad women at me after this tonight. But just to be clear, let me help myself out here. Just to be clear, I am not excusing guys' behavior. I'm just explaining it to you girls. So for the sake of fairness, let me say this. Guys, quit being jerks. Don't trash talk when girls are around. Don't burp or fart in front of them if you can help it. They don't think it's funny. Believe it or not, as unbelievable as it is to us, they don't think it's funny. I don't understand it, but they don't think it's funny. Now, there is rare exceptions, but... Hey, all right, too much information. Treat ladies with respect and they will respect you. That's what I've learned, so most of the time. But anyway, number three. Now, this is going to be direct and to the point, but I'm going to say it. If you dress like a hoochie, we will treat you like a hoochie. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. It's pretty self-explanatory. But let me say this. You ladies need to help your brothers out. You got to help us out. Guys by nature are visual people, visual beings. You girls love feelings and emotions and sugar and spice and everything that's nice. We guys like to see stuff. That's how we work. We are turned on by what we see, plain and simple. That is why pornography is a multi-billion dollar industry in America. It's not many women on there. It's mostly guys because they see it. So when you girls go to the mall in your booty shorts and your belly shirt, do not get upset when all guys want is your body. Do not call your friends and tell them how much of a jerk that guy was. Do not complain when all he was doing was looking at your chest. Guys are visual, and they are going to stare at what you are showing. Guys will treat you the way you are dressed. If you dress like a piece of meat, you're going to get thrown on the barbecue. That's a motto you can live your life by for the ladies. If any of you guys are wearing belly shirts, we have a problem. let me let you ladies in on just a little secret. When you dress provocatively, guys are not looking at you thinking, man, I bet you she would make a wonderful wife someday. They're not looking at you thinking, you know what, I bet she has a really good personality. They are thinking of ways to take advantage of you. And here is the sick thing about this. When you dress like a hoochie, every guy from 8 years old to 88 years old is staring at you. I have sat in the mall and watched as an 80-year-old guy was sitting across from me and a girl walked by in a miniskirt and his teeth almost fell out of his head because he turned his head so fast. They almost were slung across the floor. You may be trying to attract a guy your age, but guys your grandpa's age are checking you out. So you don't have to dress. I'm not telling you to dress like a nun. That's not what I'm saying. I don't want it to be like the Middle East where y'all walking up in here with hoods and stuff on like that. I'm just asking you to be modest. Modesty. Help us out. Guys have enough stuff to tempt us in the world. You get on the internet, there's 500,000 pop-ups coming on about porn. We don't need to come up in the church and see somebody with tight pants and a belly shirt on. Help us out. Help us out. Guys aren't going to say that to you. I'll say it. If a guy is trying to be a Christian, he don't need that in the church, and he don't need it from girls that are supposed to be Christians. Don't present that image. If you want to be respected, respect yourself and dress modest. If you have any questions about modesty, see my wife. See another female leader in Fusion, and they'll help you out. Like I said, I'm not a legalist. I don't expect you guys to dress like you're, Amish or something. But just cover up a little bit. That's all I'm asking. Is that all right? Do the girls agree with me on that one? All right. Number two, guys will lie to get what they want. Now, this is where the guys might get a little mad at me. But to demonstrate my point, Paige, could you come up here for a moment? Where's she at? She's in all black. All I see is blonde hair bopping down the aisle. Could you just stand right here for me? To demonstrate my point that guys will lie to get what they want, I want to do a top 10 list that will show you how much guys will lie to get what they want. Here are the top 10 cheesiest pickup lines that I could find. These are the top 10 cheesiest pickup lines that guys will give the girls to get what they want, all right? Number 10, you might have to come a little closer. You might be asked to leave the room soon because you're making the other women in the room look bad. Number 9, baby, somebody better call God because he's missing an angel. Number 8, do you have a map? Because I keep getting lost in your eyes. Number 7, baby, if you were words on a page, you would be what they call fine print. Number 6, was your father a thief? Because someone stole the stars from the sky and put them in your eyes. Number 5, I'm not actually this tall. I'm sitting on my wallet. It's because I have a lot of money. Some of y'all didn't get that. Number four, do you believe in love at first sight or should I walk by again? Number three, oh, those are shoulder blades. I thought they were wings. Number two, I lost my phone number. Can I borrow yours? And the number one cheesiest pickup line that I've heard in a while is your dad a terrorist, baby? Because you'd a bomb. Thanks. Appreciate that. I didn't use any lines to pick her up that she knew about. That's my secret one. Guys, see me afterwards. Now, we all know that those lines are cheesy and ridiculous, but guys use those lines because every once in a while, they work. Guys will tell you anything to get what they want. And what do they want? Let me think. Guys are real complicated. They're real deep. They're multi-layered. When you get to the core of the male species, you'll find one small three-letter word, S-E-X, sex. That's right. That's pretty much it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that every guy wants to throw you on the ground and get busy all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But guys do want some type of physical payoff when they're with a girl, and they have learned how to do it. Say the right thing, do the right thing, and you'll get a reward. It's kind of like Pavlov's dogs. Have you ever heard of that? There's a psychologist named Pavlov, and he had these dogs, and he trained them to drool. He said he would do a light, and every time he hit the light, he'd give them a treat. And then he did an experiment to show that even if he didn't give them a treat, when he hit the light, they'd start drooling. It's true, ladies. Guys are dogs. We're dogs. I'll admit it. Because guys will say whatever they have to say to get the desire, to get the doggy treat. They'll say, you know what? I feel like I've known you forever. Oh, come here. Or we're going to be together forever. It feels like we're already married. Oh, that is so sweet. Or I've never told anyone else this, but you don't have to finish. Come here, I want to kiss you. You know, guys will do whatever it takes. We're hoping that if we're a good boy, you'll look at us and say, good boy, good boy, here's a treat. Guys are dogs, I'll admit it. Now, don't get me wrong, not every guy is like that. I have to get that out there. Not every guy is like that. 99.99% of guys are like that. Not everything a guy says is a lie, but it's all part of the game plan. A guy is trying to find the right combination of words to advance him in the game. We even have come up with a baseball analogy for it. You've heard of it, first, second, third base. I've heard it in locker rooms. I've probably said it. Oh, you got the first base? Sweet. What did you do? Oh, second base? All right. And then some guy always comes in and lies. Home run! You're like, yeah, right. You know, we've come up with a baseball analogy for us because it's a game. It is. I'm not trying to bash the guys tonight. I am one, so I would be bashing myself. But a lot of times guys won't lie, but they will use the truth to their advantage. Like when your boyfriend says to you, I have never felt like this about anybody else. Has anybody heard that before? I've never felt like this about anybody else. Girls melt because they feel the same way. It's magic. There's magic in the air. Serendipity. I hated that movie. You two, they think, you two are definitely supposed to be together. That's what the girl's thinking. But what a guy really means is that he feels different with you than he did with the last girl he was with. And he will feel different with the next girl he's with. Because every person is different and every person makes him feel different. So yeah, he really means it when he says that you make him feel different. Or here's another example to show you how guys will use the truth to score. A guy will say, I love you. You know, that's the big moment in a relationship. I love you. And the girl will attach the world to it. She'll think, he loves me. He wants to be with me. We are soulmates bound by destiny. We will be together forever. If I was on a raft and he was hanging off the raft, he would let go of that raft and sink down into the Titanic waters and let me live because he loves me. I can't wait until we're married. I know he feels the same thing too. Yeah, when the guy says it, he really means it. Seriously, he loves you. And he loves his mom. And he loves his car. And he loves his dog. And he loves his Xbox. He loves Mountain Dew. He loves all of those things. He loves winning the game. So when he says that he loves you, he really means it. Just not the way you think. Guys love to win. It's in their nature. They want to win, so they'll play the game. And in the course of that game, they might play in your emotions. It's not personal. Most of the time, it's not personal. It's a competitive thing for us guys. But they have to win the game. So they'll tell you things that you want to hear. They'll do things for you that they'll know you love. It'll make you feel like the princess that you really are. But believe me when I say that it's all a game. Even if the guy thinks he's being serious and thinks he's not lying, he's really lying and he just don't know about it. It's true. I'm a guy. Girls, the reason that I'm telling you this is so that you can be honest with yourselves and not allow yourself to create some type of fantasy world with his statements, with what he says. Guys know that girls want a fairy tale. Paige talked about it last week. Most girls, you know, not everyone, but most girls grew up with the idea of a fairy tale. They want Prince Charming to come in and sweep them off their feet. So most guys are willing to play that role. But they are only doing it to get what they want. So ladies, what are you supposed to do when your man starts saying this stuff to you? When he starts throwing the lines at you? Take it easy. Don't read so far into it. And the main thing is never forget that no matter how sweet he is still a male. He is still a guy. And that means he has one goal, a physical payoff for his hard work. It may not be sex. He may not want sex. But 99.99% of the time, he is expecting some kind of physical payoff for his hard work. And that means, now some of you girls might be thinking, not my guy. My guy is a nice Christian guy. Well, yeah, he may be so, but I can guarantee you that he's looking for nice Christian guy sex. He's looking for nice Christian guy making out and fooling around and doing stuff. Believe me when I say that. So ladies, just don't buy the lies. Look at it this way. This is, if you don't remember anything else I say, remember this. If you're under 18 years old in here tonight, there is no way that you're getting married anytime soon. It would not be wise. So if your boyfriend is saying that he loves you and needs you and can't live without you, then he's lying to get you into the sack. That's it. That's the truth. The truth. And I'm not afraid to say it because I love you. I love you, girls. I love you. I don't want to see any of you hurt. I don't want to see any of you get into some relationship that's going to damage you and screw you up in the future. So if you're not ready to get married, you'll know when you're ready to get married. If you're not ready to get married, then don't say I love you, because love is something that you have no clue what it means. Love means sitting beside somebody in a hospital bed when they're burned when their entire body with third degree burns, and loving them and staying with them. And no matter what, you're going to be with that person. You may think that now. But love, I've been married for 3 years, and I'm just now understanding what love really is. So ladies, when he says, I love you, and I need you, I can't live without you, he's lying. He's pressuring you. Don't fall for it. Plain and simple, it's up to you not to let him go any further in the game. And fellas, quit expecting a physical payoff. She don't have to kiss you. She don't have to hug you. She don't have to look in your direction. She don't have to shake your hand if she doesn't want to. So quit expecting it. It's not her duty to give you a physical payoff. Stand up and be a man and treat these ladies with some respect. Do I got an amen from the ladies tonight? I'm not trying to be hard on you guys, but it's the truth. I'll just speak it. I don't care. I'm tired of seeing 14-year-old girls get pregnant. I'm tired of hearing about 13-year-old girls getting chlamydia and gonorrhea. I'm tired of it. These guys come in and say, I love you, I want to be with you. And they fall for it. It's a lie. They're lying to you. You're not going to get married, so don't let them further the game at your expense. Because they'll just use you, toss you aside, and go to the next girl. Don't be that way. You girls are like what Paige said. You're diamonds. You're precious in God's sight. And guys, you are too. You need to treat that lady, that girl, and yourself with some respect. And just know that. All right? Number one. This is, guys, where I'll swing to the other side here. Get off your case. Number one. Girls, shut up and be mysterious. I know that this may sound rude, but hear me out first, because it actually has more to do with the guys than it does the girls. Here is the truth. Guys love a challenge. It's either win or lose with a guy. Little girls play with dolls and get along with each other in peaceful harmony. But with guys, it's my Voltron. Anybody have a Voltron? My Voltron will destroy your Transformer. Optimus Prime. The greatest superhero in the history of the world. I had that Transformer. When it first came out. I had Megatron too with the gun. I used to go around, but what's up, man? You got beef? What's up? I was like 7 years old. All right. Or they'll say, my G.I. Joe, your G.I. Joe is no match for my Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. Yeah! I saw that and could not let it slide. Just leave that up there for a while, Dave. Man, that looks eerily, it looks like it fits. Siegfried and Roy. With guys, everything turns into a competition. They say, I can drive faster, I can jump higher, I can eat my two triple whoppers before you can eat yours, Matt and Nick. You know, I can burp louder than you can. Guys love the battle. Guys love the adventure. They love the chase. I mean, just look at the movies that we like to watch. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Quest for the Holy Grail. We like action movies where you have to find something, where you got to work to get something, not something that's easy to get or something that's right there, right in front of your face. We are the same when it comes to girls. They're not going to admit that to you, ladies, but I'll admit it. We want a challenge. We want to chase. There is just something about a girl that you don't know everything about. She's mysterious. She's intriguing. A guy will do anything to pursue her and discover the unknown. So ladies, here's what happens most of the time. You get all interested in some guy, and he shows some interest in you. And he calls you up, and you go on some marathon 3-hour phone call. And you talk, and you talk, and you talk, and you talk, and you reveal everything about your family tree. You feel like you're really connecting with him and starting something new. But then you wonder why he doesn't call you back the next day. And then you see him in the hall the next week, and he blows you off and doesn't even talk to you. Why? Because you told him everything. There's nothing for him to chase after. No adventure to pursue. No uncharted territory to explore. No challenge. You took his action movie and turned it into a chick flick. That's what you did with that relationship. You took the chase and said, here you go. Oh, you're going on a quest? Don't bother. Here it is. That's what you did for him. Even Proverbs 17:28 says, please put it up there because I forgot what it said. Even fools seem smart when they are quiet. So what am I saying to you ladies? Hold back. Don't just spill all your personal information on the guy at one time. Pick and choose what you say to him. Give the guy something to hunt for. Challenge him. Make yourself an adventure for him to see. And I'm saying this all in a non-sexual way, please. Please understand that. Because I'm just believing it's a given that you're not going to do that. I'm just talking about you as a person. Give him something to look forward to. Give him something to seek after. So how do you do this? How can you ladies make yourself mysterious to us caveman guys? I'm glad you asked. I have, this is the last thing I'm ending with. So hear this. Ladies, hear this. If you're dating, if you're going into a dating relationship, the whole point of why Paige and I are doing this is so you guys can be dateable. So you guys will be attractive to the opposite sex in a wholesome, good way. So we're trying to give you some tips on how to be mysterious, how to attract someone that you may actually like. Not some jerk, but someone that you actually want to have a relationship with. So what can you do, ladies, to be mysterious to us guys? Number one, under no circumstances should you ever ask a guy out. When you chase or you pursue a guy, it totally goes against the guy's nature. We are supposed to be the hunters and the gatherers. That's what the cavemen were, not you. The guy will find it flattering at first. He definitely will. But he will lose interest in you very quickly. There's no challenge. There's no mystery. So sit back and let the guy come to you. Make him have to know he has to fight to know the real you. And if he doesn't ask you out, then you don't want him. If he's too chicken to ask you out, move on. Make him work for it. Don't ask guys out. Number two, let him plan the date. One way to see if a guy is really into you is to see how much effort he puts into the date. If he takes you to Burger King and putt-putt every single week, take the hint, he's probably not interested. He's trying to get something that he's not going to work for. So take the hint, he's not interested in you. Let him plan the date. I don't know about this whole chivalry thing. I don't know. This is just common sense to me. Let him plan the date. Number three, make him pay for the date. I know you guys are like, darn you, Troy. A guy will spend money on what he thinks is valuable. A guy will buy a PSP and an Xbox 360 and rims and CDs and all that stuff because he thinks it's valuable to him. I'm not saying that you gotta make him blow crazy cash on you every time you go out. Like Paige said last week, sometimes it's the little things that girls like. But do something, you know. Spend some money. Get a job. If you don't have a job, get a job. If you don't have a job, then you don't need to be dating. That's my opinion. Pay for the girl. So fellas, put some time and thought into the date and don't let her pay. Be a man. Number four, this is for the ladies. Do not give up doggy treats. Girls, giving your affection to a guy right away does not make you valuable to him at all. In fact, you give him the prize without making him fight for it. If you want a guy to know how valuable you are showing him. If you want a guy to know how valuable you are, you have to act like you're valuable. You girls, I hear it all the time. We're valuable. I'm a diamond. But you act like you're a piece of dirt. You don't act like a diamond. Act like you're valuable, and guys will treat you like you're valuable. If you want a guy to know that, when you kiss, listen to me. When you kiss him or massage him, oh, my shoulders are so tense. It's a lie. More than likely, he's done nothing that whole day. She's not tense. Basically, if you do anything on a first date, you are showing him that he will not have to do much to win the prize. Don't feed the dogs. Remember that. Don't feed the dogs. Paige and I are going to talk in 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks is going to be the last session of this series on practical tips for dating. Because I don't want to leave you guys hanging and say, you can't do this, you can't do that, without telling you what you can do. We're going to talk about how far can you go on a date. You know, what's a good date for a Christian? Well, you know, how can we be sure that we can be in situations where we're not tempted? Stuff like that. We're going to sit up here and we're going to talk about that. So come to that, but in the meantime, don't give yourself away. Number five, keep parts of your life to yourself. Ladies, keep parts of your life to yourself. Don't tell him everything about you. Keep the mystery alive. And this is for the guys too. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we don't want to hear your life story. After 5 hours of talking about what happened to you at work today and what some girl did to you at school, we're tired of it. Most of the time, let me give you a preview of what guys are really like on the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, you're still there? You know, they don't care. You know, well, we need to listen, I agree. But don't tell him everything about your life. Save it for when you're married. Then we have no choice. We'll have to listen. Number six, limit phone calls to 30 minutes maximum. This will leave him wanting more. 15 minutes is even better. 5 minutes is okay. Paige and I used to talk for 3 hours when we first started dating. By the time we were engaged, it was like, hey, what's going on? You coming overnight? I'll talk to you later. Click. You know, that was okay because we were seeing each other, you know. And number 7, the last one. Girls, never accept a quickie date. If he calls you on Friday afternoon and asks you to go out that night, you can always, and you say yes. If you always say yes, I'll go out that night, you're known as one of two things. Either you are desperate or you are a booty call. That's what you are to him. I don't think you want to be either of those two things. So don't be his spare tire when he can't find someone else. Make him work for it. All right? Is that okay? Is everything I said okay tonight? I tried to think, what would I want you girls to know, you know, and how would I want an ideal youth ministry to relationships? How would I want them to be? And that's why I said what I said tonight. Guys, if you next week come, by the way, next week, please come, because we're breaking up into guys and girls. And there's a sex box out there. She's holding it right there. If you have questions about sex, anything, I mean, unless it's just off the wall, but put it in there and I will do my best to answer it for the guys. Paige will do her best to answer it for the girls. Because I had a lot of questions growing up in church that nobody would talk to me about. And I made a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of things I regretted. And if somebody would have just, you know, paid some attention and tried to answer it, it may have helped me. So that's what we're going to do next week. The guys will be over in the modular. Just come here and then we'll split up. So let me get you to stand to your feet tonight. It's 8:30. We're not going to have cell groups tonight. I think that's it. Is there anything, Paige? She's my reminder. That's a good thing about being married. Yeah, fill out questions. Don't sign your name. We won't know who it is. But I want to thank you guys for coming tonight. Come back next week. And just think about these things. If you need to talk to anybody, that's what we're here for. Father, I thank you for this night, God. I thank you for speaking to us, Lord, and allowing us to worship you during the time of worship, God. And I just pray that what I said tonight, that if it can help somebody, Lord, I pray that that would happen. God, I pray that healthy, moral, good, wise relationships would come out of this youth ministry, and that one day we can look back on this and say, healthy marriages were produced because we were open and we sought your word and your will regarding our relationship. So, Father, we thank you. Be with us this upcoming week and just bring us back next week at the right time. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.